What about the notion that we're hearing from a lot of conservatives, Deborah Saunders, that Obama's faltering in the polls, his base isn't as strong, so the Occupy movement might serve him in a political sense? And we also are hearing that maybe, in fact, it's being well used by the Obama administration in terms of creating a greater sense of what they keep calling class warfare.
Well, I sure hope that's true, Michael, that they're trying to use Occupy Wall Street. Look, they're not – I mean, let's just get real here for a second. They're not the 99%. We know that about 88% of the country is employed. Now, a lot of people don't like their jobs and they're not happy, but they're not the 99%. And if – I don't understand why President Obama would try to make people think that 99% of Americans fall into this category, because if it's true, he's really failed. I mean, if that's what they're thinking they want to do –
Are you
overtime,
saying these are all unemployed people who are out there?
No, sure. No, but – Look, I mean, I read the early what is the 99%, and the 99% were, you know, they would frequently say that they were unemployed, they had the big college debt, or they had a lot of credit card debt, but in fact, as we know, I know that some are unemployed. Scott Olson, the Iraq vet who was hurt, holds down a job, but I don't think that I think there are a lot of people who aren't that unhappy with the world, and are certainly not so unhappy that they want to put a tent in front of City Hall and throw things at cops.
But, you know, it strikes me we haven't seen a movement anything like this since
Tea Party.
Well,
except the Tea Party.
But even before the Tea guns. Party, thinking, you know, the so-called movement against the war in Vietnam and the disaffection, a lot of it was personal because people were getting conscripted. And now you have a lot of people out there who have a personal stake in this, Joe.
Yeah. Right, exactly. This is something that touches every neighborhood. You don't know – everybody knows – In every neighborhood, there's someone who's been laid off, no matter what.
Or is underwater in their mortgage.
Underwater, they've got a ton of student debt. That's what this these campout scenes are merely the first flashpoint of an expression of anger. They're giving voice to people who are ticked off at a system where the social, where the political system they feel is unequal and broken. They feel that the economic system is unequal and broken, and they're angry. They don't know. They don't have an agenda. Necessarily, they don't have 20 points or whatever, but they're angry, and this is their way of expressing it. It's not pretty. It's, you know, it's very raw.
It's already having an effect. You know, I had an opportunity yesterday to just be in conversation on stage with Robert Reich, former Secretary of Labor, and he was saying the story that made the headline in the New York Times about the 1% of the population, the very rich, going up in the last 20 years or so in terms of income, probably wouldn't have made the front page of the New York Times if the Occupy movement hadn't been going on. So there's a different kind of coverage and news selection, isn't there?
It has literally, in fact, the Think Progress, the liberal think tank, did a study of that. And the last week of July, they studied the cable news networks. They said that the word debt, this is where over the battle of the debt ceiling, was mentioned 7,000 times on 1 week. And the word unemployed was mentioned 75 times. Now, it studied again in October, and debt was mentioned only 398 times, and Wall Street and jobs were mentioned like a couple thousand times. So it literally has changed the conversation. At least on the
That's very revelatory, those numbers. As a reporter, now you've been out there, and your sense is these people are pretty committed, huh?
They're committed. And honestly, if you go out at three different times in the day, you'll see three different types of crowds. If at night, you'll see a more aggressive crowd. I was out there yesterday afternoon. There were kids. There were a dozen kids out there. There were people doing meditation. It was kind of the mellow day in Oakland. They're doing meditation and yoga and all that stuff. Some days you'll see labor tabling there. It honestly is a very evolving scene.
Joe, you've been to many Tea Party demonstrations.
I have.
Please compare.
Well, it's definitely – Tea Party is definitely an older crowd. And I think their concern is – they were focused on, like, why is the system bailing out the big banks, which is also a concern here. There's a variety of messages at both places. You see the entire rainbow of the conservative spectrum at a Tea Party rally. You see the rainbow of the liberal spectrum at these Occupy rallies.
But don't you think in the attempt to sort of indict those on the left who try to indict the Tea Party as being racist, that we're seeing perhaps some of the same thing with respect to this movement, indicting them as being overly abundant where anarchists are concerned or something along that line?
Oh, exactly. Well, look at our political system. It's all about the tit for tat going back and forth between liberal and and conservative. So it's not surprising that they're trying to indict either side now.
And how much do you think there's a possibility for those two groups coming together? Lawrence Lessig, Tim Dickinson was on this program and saying, hey, they've got a lot of the same beefs. Maybe there really is some possibility for synchronicity here.
No, and I think there's a column, interesting column by Tom Friedman in the New York Times over the weekend talking about linking up the Arab Spring to what's going on in America and saying that it's really less about politics and more about justice. And so that you're seeing people who have worked hard and played by the rules on both the left and the right fall behind, see their dream, you know, of a more prosperous America start to fade. Mm-hmm. And the people that they identify as being responsible for that, the political establishment and the Republicans, the bankers have not paid the proper price for that. You're seeing people, you know, continue to rake in multi-billion-dollar bonuses on Wall Street.
And you're also seeing the possibility of another recession with derivatives and all of that. But don't you think a lot of this is also linked, at least where this particular occupation movement is concerned, to disaffection with Obama, the feeling that he was going to represent change and didn't bring it about?
No, I think that's right. I mean, Obama was elected on the back of a movement of his own creation. And instead of giving that movement a chance to help him govern, he sort of put them on the shelf for several years. And he said to the Wall Street bankers, I'm the only thing standing between you and the pitchforks. And you know, now the pitchforks have come out. And is he going to stand in the way of them, or is he going to it's just interesting. He's sort of his move at this point. But
he's got a lot of experience as a community organizer.
but I think that is interesting because you're seeing the left, which Cornel West said had been domesticated by Obama, wake up and have a voice of its own. And so now you're not seeing Obama representing the center and the left negotiating with the right, but you're seeing the left speak for itself and start to change the conversation and force the president himself to start addressing some of their core issues and not these questions.
So this is a left collective voice in many ways. I mean, they're not looking for hierarchy or leadership like the Tea Party, and so they've pretty much dissociated themselves from the Tea Party in that sense, haven't they?
I think so, but I think that when we're going to see some real change is when the same core issues of justice and economic fairness that I think drive both the Tea Party and the Occupy movement, if there's any crossover there, and if they start to understand that this is not there, you know, we're very used to in America being a, you know, red state, blue state, Tea Party, Occupy, but I think this is not these divisions of left and right are not so clear here, and they're not so it's not so simple, and so if it's going to take some creative organizing work to bridge those gaps. But if that starts to happen, I think you're going to see the entire political establishment then be forced to address the core issues, which are economic fairness and ability for people to get ahead.
But what you've just intimated suggests the kind of partisanship and polarization where we're at anyway, doesn't it?
Right. No, and I mean, I think you see on both sides, you see tremendous frustration with a political system that's deadlocked and dead in the water and not capable of mounting an effective response either way to the problems that we find ourselves in.